Greetings to the congregation and community of New Hope Church here in Hanford. With the recently issued directives that limits public gatherings, we are endeavoring to apply the God-given technology of today to remain connected and faithful to the commands to worship on the Sabbath. God willing, Pastor Fox will bring the gospel to us through this means both morning and evening every Lord's Day. We are and remain connected to each other by faith, God's word, and the endless love of our Savior. May God bless you and keep you, and may the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ faithfully go out among the nations and comfort us all and encourage us to a heart of thankfulness and perseverance as we push through this current crisis. Thank you.
Good morning. Let's begin with prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that though the distance between us is great, the distance from you is greater, and you have surpassed that distance. And so you're able to join us together, even though we're separated by time and by your providence. And we pray, O God, that you will grant us your wisdom from on high and grant us a measure of peace. Open your word to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 1 through 17. We've been following Jesus' progress to the point where he's about to go to the cross tomorrow from the perspective of the disciples in the upper room. And now John begins to give us from his memory what happened before the Feast of the Passover and during what we call the Last Supper in the other passages. We start at verse 1 then. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper, and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, Never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who is betraying him. For this reason he said, Not all of you are clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. But it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. From now on I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Thus far the word of God. I've read the whole context, but we're going to cover verses 1 through 17 today. Up close and personal. That's a good description of the portrait John gives of Christ in chapters 13 through 17. No more arguments with the Pharisees or seeking to prove his identity now. Now it's just Jesus and his 11 friends and loved ones who follow him. Notice verse 2. During the supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. There are really only 11 with him in heart. There are about 18 hours until he dies. He uses them to open his heart to the 11 and prepare them for the future, but above all, express his love for them. And I'm interested in that in particular in this section, in this Last Supper scenario that we're going to be working our way through. He wants to show them and express to them his love for them. Everything he will say will come from his heart, including his warnings and even mild rebukes. And we now have in these chapters the privilege of hearing Jesus speak to us in a very intimate way. If we pay careful attention, it will greatly build our faith and confidence as we seek to serve him. We begin with the expression of his love and the application of that to his disciples. John's memory is vividly personal here as he tells us what Jesus thought of his small band of disciples as he instructed them. The first thing we find is that he loved them. The scripture tells us he loved them. His motive and his words and actions from now on until eternity is love for his disciples. Verse 1, again, Jesus, knowing that he would depart, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. And in fact, that word can be translated eternally or understood as eternally. What he'll do next, incredibly enough, shows that he also loved Judas. In verses 2 through 4, we read that when he was girded himself, even Judas Iscariot was there. And he intended to serve him as well, even though Judas was going to do a rather bad turn, as they say, against him. And this is revealed as now he prepared to humble himself before all of them. Do you see the self-humiliation in what he does now? In verse 4, the Lord of glory takes the form of a bondservant. He humbles himself. He dresses in a servant's clothing. Some commentaries say he simply wore a loincloth. He washes their filthy feet. And yes, he even washes the feet of the one who would betray him. And even Peter gets it. And so does what Peter has always done. Look at verses 6 through 8. He comes to Simon Peter, and Peter says to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus responds, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." And here's what Peter says, "Never shall you wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me at all." And Peter gets it. And Jesus then shuts his mouth, and Peter submits and said, "Lord, wash not only my feet, but also my hands as well as my feet. And wash my head too. You see, I don't want you to stop with my feet. Wash my head." And Jesus now says something remarkably comforting to the 11, but something that would disconcert his disciples as well. He says, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." And I'm sure that the disciples at this point heard that word, "not all of you," and said to themselves, "Uh-oh, something's gone wrong here. Something is not right." But do you get the hint? Out of love, he is seeing that they are not totally shocked by what they will learn of one of their own. And now, out of love for his disciples, Jesus does three things. First, he begins the walk to the cross, where his humiliation will be full, devastating, and total. His enemies will strip him. His enemies will beat and crucify him. And thus, by his actions, he shows them what is coming, his disciples, that is, what is coming. He'll be humiliated for their sakes. And so he now applies the cross proleptically to the 11. Once you've been washed, you are clean, but not all of you. Because of what he'll do on the cross, they are clean from the point of view of God's sight. From this point on, by faith in Jesus, they are clean. Do you see why he and how he remains focused on his work? He must and he will continue to teach them, to prepare his disciples for their future ministry, which is why he started by washing their feet. and we'll explain it more fully next. And this is the basic background for chapters 13 through 17 here. But before we move on to Jesus' explanation, do not miss this, that Jesus has the same, very same love for you now as he had for his original 12 disciples. Do you believe that? He gives us the whole of the Bible to help us to know him and his love, but this part of John's gospel will help us to see that love in very practical ways. For the moment, even this moment when we're perhaps a little bit nervous about circumstances in our lives, when we wonder if Jesus loves us, why are we in the fix we're in? Embrace this knowledge for this moment. Jesus loves you as he loves all of his own, as he always has loved all of his own, from the 11 to you and me to this very day. The next thing I want you to see here is how Jesus instructed his disciples. He guest asks, and he asks a question. Watch out for the questions of Jesus. They always have something to think about. Verse 12, when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" You should first notice that he acknowledges their faith expressed in their names for him. You call me, verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. And in that context, he explains his ministry of humiliation and the memory of it, and shows the practical use of it as an example for them to follow. Verses 14 through 16. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I give you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. You see, he wants them to understand that this is the way they're to treat one another. Love one another as Christ has loved you. At this point, John does not tell us what the other Gospels do about the debate among the 12 as to who is the greatest among them. But there's no need. It's safe to say he knew their discussions about who was the greatest. You look at the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you can read it there. But here he allows his actions to speak louder than his words and clothes them with irresistible force. Verse 17, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. It doesn't matter, all of you, whether one of you is greater than the other at all. Forget about that. Look at me. Watch what I'm doing. You are to love each other the way I have loved you. These men are not to seek superiority among themselves, but humble themselves each before the others. I think that's a good rule of thumb for fellow Christians in any congregation. No, if they want to attain to greatness, it must be as he will do it, by self-humiliation. By the way, I wonder how Judas was feeling just then. The way up is down. The way to excel in reputation is to embrace humiliation. Follow Jesus as he goes to the cross. So here is the question. Are you willing to humiliate yourself for your brothers and sisters in Christ? To wash their feet, even if they might hate you? And here we do not ask, what would Jesus do, but what did Jesus do? The Son of God became a man in every way but sin, and he humbled himself even further here by washing the filthy, smelly feet of his disciples, including his bitter enemy. He also died for you and me. Therefore, we also are instructed with the 11 that we should do as he did for us. And therefore, you and I should lay down our lives for one another. So here then is the first lesson that Jesus gives us in these chapters. We need to know Jesus better by meditating on his actions. We can do no better than by starting with verses 13 through 17. How many of us would do what Jesus did in verse 4? Would pride hinder you or me? Are there people in your life that you disdain? People you know that disdain you, would you wash their feet? Think about the people you don't like very much. Think about the people who don't like you very much. Would you wash their feet? Humble yourself before them to serve them, even if all you can do is just pray for them And that's a mighty act of love all by itself. What limits do you put on what you will do for your brothers and sisters in Christ, for those of them who might hate you? Are you willing to humiliate yourself to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you willing to love your enemies enough to humiliate yourself to serve them? Do you love your Jesus enough to do those things for his sake? You see, the service Jesus performed here for the 11 was not just for them, not just for their sake. Through John's report, Jesus is speaking to you and he's speaking to me by his actions and words. And he says, go to your families, brothers, friends, and your enemies and do likewise. No, you cannot die for their sins, but you can love them to the end as Jesus has done for you by serving them as Jesus did his 12. What Jesus will continue to do is instruct us in these chapters about the fullness of his love for his disciples, and that includes us. He will teach us how to love our enemies. He will comfort us in our sorrows and pains. He will show us the Father, reveal his great supply for all of our needs. He will show us the intimacy of his relationship to us. He'll show us how to live in this world and warn us that we cannot do it on our own. Teach us about the Holy Spirit and point us to the way to rejoice always, the way to pray. And then he will pray for us. That's chapters 13 through 16 and 17 when he prays for us. Do you want to be a good follower of Jesus? Listen to his words in these chapters as we go through them, as though he were only talking to you. Read them yourself and think of him as only talking to you. See how you will grow. Meditate on these things as you learn them. Know that Jesus is for you and never, ever against you. Know that his love for you is absolute and absolutely above all you could ask or imagine. But if you do not know this Jesus, if there's anyone listening that is not a Christian, ask him to reveal himself to you as we continue in these chapters and trust him. Start now by confessing and repenting of your sins, and then follow him wherever he leads you, yes, even to the cross itself. But do not be afraid. Do not even be afraid as a virus attacks our nation and the rest of the world. Do not be afraid. Why? Because he loves you with an everlasting and never-ending love. May his name be praised. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the love of Jesus, and we pray as we consider these matters in coming weeks that you will help us to drink in the love of Christ and learn the deeper lessons of how to be proper disciples and servants of his, and learn to love you, Father, as Jesus loved you. Help us to be faithful and give us your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.